freedom, you know, the part of you that you see your weaknesses, some of your physical limitations, right? Those parts that are still not yet touched. He told me that he's going to touch it, and the way he's going to touch it is that he's going to give you he's going to give you a deep knowledge that he is your father. So he's going to take away the orphan spirit from you, and he's going to replace it with the spirit of adoption, right? That makes you cry about father. So that's good. That's good. Can you please show me the scripture? It's Romans. Romans 1. Receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And you are going to experience a heightened level of that dimension of God. It's going to happen in this sense. It's going to happen in this sense. You know, When he is done with you, see, even your taste in men will change. What I mean is the kind of men that you find attractive will change. Because you might not know this, but your idea of who you find attractive, who can make you, who you're attracted to, largely is a function of the men that have been around you since the beginning. So you set your standards based on these guys. You're like, okay, these are the people, this is what man will be. So, in fact, it won't limit how you can even who you won't like them, because you'll be like, nah, man, I can't be friends with this kind of person. This kind of person is too sophisticated for me. I'm too local, I'm too rash. But when that spiritual operation is completed in you, all these things will change. And you will stop seeing yourself as needing other people, but you will see yourself as someone that the world needs. Because he's your father. Yes, I listen to me. So please just sit down. Just sit down. Maybe you might address it later. I'm thinking that I pray for you. You just told me that that's what he wants. Alright, Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. That was wrong. Now, it shall come to pass if you. Okay, you can stop. You can stop. I think you're the one that's enjoying my spirit. You can stop. Let me teach now, please. Thank you. Thank you. Can we shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Let's shake up. Let's. So I want to explain something about prayer. Now, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now, it shall come to pass that you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you higher over all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Ironically, said we've already read the scriptures that has been read to me. Now, verse 3 to verse. I said it's the end. I won't. That's what I'm going to read. It begins to. God begins to declare a particular set of blessings. And the point is that when we look at that scripture, let's go to verse 1 again. I'll look at that scripture. One of the things that we, now this point in time is sort of like when, after Moses went to the mountain and gave them the tablets, and gave them 10 commandments, he also gave them another set of laws, which we call the Old Testament. You know, it was like the constitution of the Jewish people. It was like a constitution, was also like a cultural book. It defined all their norms, and so gave them that document. That, okay, this is everything. So he started reading everything out. That's usually that's not like what Numbers and Deuteronomy is, when you were reading everything out. And after that, he now said this: that if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, then bless him. Do we see that? So blessing is dependent on what?
Obedience.
Obedience. Or blessing is dependent on obedience of commandments. Are we together? Now, this is a spiritual law. The whole point of commandment, when God commands, is because He wants to release a blessing. Are we together? When the Holy Spirit tells you to do anything, it's because that commandment of the Spirit is delivering a blessing to you. Amen. And so, one of the fundamental principles of your walk with God is that blessings are delivered by commandments. In other words, you can also call it principles. Do we understand? Right? Where the outcome of a certain spiritual order or ordinance, I don't know, that one seems to, but just certain spiritual outcomes are dependent on commandments. The vehicle through which they are delivered to men is through commandments. And so, when God wants to bless you, what He will usually do is that He will usually give you commandments. Praise God. So, that's why if you think that in the New Testament, you're no longer doing commandments, you are wrong. Because the commandments in the New Testament are even more. Amen. Is more and it's harder to obey. A very good example is when Jesus Christ was, don't need to go there because of time, but when Jesus Christ was talking about fornication. I guess.
Yes, sir.
In the law, what is fornication? When you sleep with a woman? Meaning when you do the act. Jesus Christ said, no, in this new one that I'm bringing, the thinking is the same thing. That's very unfair. That's very unfair. The thinking is the same thing. Hatred and murder are the same thing. They are the same thing. There's no, they don't differentiate. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, the commandments, even in this, our own, that we are doing, and you need to be careful though. If you think that this thing is just a free for all, you don't really understand it. And you need to go and pray to God to improve your understanding. You understand? It's not, the New Testament is not actually more relaxed. Is heavier because now there's no more excuse. You have the Spirit of God, and so when God is judging from the church. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, it's not that you start being afraid, it's just that you will learn how to feel the Spirit. That's all. So, the point I wanted to make was that commandments are the very good true blessings. And so, as you are walking with God, Please, this guy asked me to be part of this. Now, are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together? Oh, yes. Yes, very good at this. And as we are working with God, what you need to know is that for you to be someone that is highly blessed, all that kind of stuff, you just need to find out the commandment stroke principle that you need to obey. Are we together? As a matter of fact, your growth in understanding God is at the basis of obeying those commandments. In the sense that the person that will understand God, understand the nature of God, is the person that is obeying the commandments. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
For instance, a 10-year-old girl has a video of having sex, 10 or 13 years old. Adults are condemning a 10-year-old girl. Why? Even Christians. Why? They have not obeyed the commandments of love. Do you understand what I'm saying? People whose reaction should be that, how do we restore this person? There is hope. God can restore. Yes. How many people have here commented that have said this thing that I've said? That there is hope. God can restore. Blame the parents. Blame the school. Blame the society. That's the one you have there, Abby. Blame the girl herself. And our friends, right? The gist. Because many people don't understand how God thinks. They think you think it's such a big deal. You think it's not a big deal. It's not just a function of your parents. That's the more I'm talking about. It's just a function of what you're seeing. Anybody here can do that. It's not that you don't have a unique conscience that is better. You understand? You can do anything. As you are here now, if you hear the message, you know, you can talk to transgender. As you are here like this, if you hear, after 1 year, maybe. There is. It's not. Again. So, this commandment, it's not going to just do this, don't do that. When your soul is used to obeying God, you then begin to even learn the nature of God. That's what I'm saying. So, the blessings of God are hidden or they are delivered by commandments. You understand? Now, let's go to the same Deuteronomy 5. There is one, that was just preamble, because there's one commandment that we need to look at that is crucial for your generation. Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments. Let's look at verse 6 and verse 7. So it's just sharp. Out of the house of bondage, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Please, let's pause. First of all, I do want us to know. So let us go to 16. So this is talking about the Ten Commandments, which are very particular about. Right?
Yes.
Now look at this in Old Testament. Look at this in Old Testament. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
Now, this, can we read this together? Can we read this together? One, two, go. Now, this particular commandment is really unique amongst commandments because the now you see there are two parts of this commandment. There's part A and part B. Who can say that? There's the commandment and there's the blessing. You see that, Abby?
Yes.
So this commandment is particularly very unique because it's like a it has a special, and I will speak the special significance. God put it in a special category of commandments. Because by default, all commandments have blessings attached to them. You know what I'm saying? Right? But this one now has its own kind of blessing attached to it. So it's like a commandment is a different kind of commandment. Do you understand what I'm saying? For all of the other, please be right to my name. After the first. I'm not kidding. I'm not being vague. It's because that's the right way to do it in English. B, capital. K, capital. E, capital. I'm not being vague. Seriously, I'm not being vague. It's important. If you're not keen, you're okay. So I was saying that this commandment is a special class of commandment because it carries its own kind of blessing that other commandments don't carry. And if you were to think that this is just an Old Testament thing, in Ephesians 6, let's go to Ephesians 6. This is why reading New Testament is good. Show verse 1 and 1 to 3 together. This is why New Testament is good, because all this long revelation I've been talking about, it just says it in straight word English. This is 1 to 3. You understand? So don't kill yourself for revelation. Go ahead and read New Testament. That's like very clear. Now, children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Now, Paul introduces something different. But let's read it first. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may be loved on the earth. So, all in Revelation, I want to see there. There's one to see there. Paul has explained this. Now, Paul introduces something new to this commandment. It is not exactly the same thing we read in the journal. It's not exactly the same to me right now. Am I, who understands what I'm talking about? What do we read in the journal? Yeah, what are we reading here? It's a little bit different, I mean. Because, now, if you are receiving that thing from God, you are not children of Israel, you are receiving that thing. Most likely, your mind will have gone to your physical parents. That's usually how you have interpreted that commandment. Do you understand what I'm saying? That physical parents is your parents. And now, here in the New Testament, Paul introduces something new, the concept of parents in the Lord. Now, this does not take away your parents. This just introduces something new. Why? Because the New Testament life. Are we together? Now, you always had, in the Old Testament, you always had people refer to the guy that was among them as. You always hear them refer to the guy appoint them as master. Right? So like maybe Elijah that kind of thing, right? You don't refer to them as master. Rather than but in that same context, are we together? In that same context, you saw, for instance, Solomon, or David referring to Solomon as son. Are we together? So there was a division between kinds of relationships. In the sense that, on a level, you can't relate with somebody as father and son if it's not by blood. Right? But if it's outside of blood, you just can't have that same kind of relationship. Because it's blood that determines. What do I mean? You couldn't have just said you want to be king. You have to have come from the lineage of David. You know what I'm saying? It's not like blood is complete. You can't just look at him and then call the king. Yeah. You come from the lineage of David. And God is dealing with that lineage of blood Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But there is, you go to, I'm not going to help myself. But the reason why Paul introduces this thing is because in the new covenant that we have with God, the basis of transfer has transcended blood. It's now based on spirits. Are we together? I said the basis of transfer or the basis of family, what is called family, has gone beyond blood. It's now spirit. Yeah. So God has shared with all of us his spirit. Why are we children of God? Because we have the spirit of God. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
And so, family is now determined, or can now be determined by spirit. Now, this what I'm saying is not even a physical thing. It's a child that does not have a father growing up can grow wild. A child that does not have parents growing up can grow wild. Now, what I'm saying is that even if you don't have father, you don't have mother, because God has shared his spirit with all of us, you can have a father and you can have a mother. Praise God. So, what I'm going to really is the benefits of parenthood. Are we together? You can get the benefits of parenthood outside your physical family. So, even if your dad, I will go back to your physical parent because they are still very important, but let me just address this point. Even if your mother has abandoned you, are we together? Even if your father has abandoned you, the life that God has provided for you is more than enough to counter that loss. In the sense that God has said, as I've shared my spirit, those that are fatherless amongst them, those that are motherless amongst them, those that are not coming from good homes among them, it doesn't matter anymore. Are we together? So, you have access to the benefits of parenthood. That's why Paul just started to just say that
Paul is a very brilliant guy. Very, very brilliant. He's the only person that would have done this. Most people will say you are adding to. You are altering physically. Most people will say you are altering mentally. Praise God, are we together? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Is it, are you following what I'm saying? So, you have one commandment that comes in two phases. There's honor your father and mother, then there's honor your father and mother and God. Now, why? As I've explained, it's so that you can access the benefits of the parents. Or, not even necessarily access. Again, the term I'm using, when I say access the benefits of parents, what's the benefit of parenting? It's the blessing. What's the blessing? Exactly. The blessing in Deuteronomy, that's the benefits of parents. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? So question, what if you don't have father and mother, who you honor? Praise God. And you receive the same thing. Do you see what I'm talking about? This is what I'm talking about, right? So there are two phases. There is the phase of I'll take my time to teach this. Or I want to do a question and answer so that someone will ask a question. Because I know you will ask a question now. I'll get you. What if my father and all those kind of, what if my mother is a witch and those kind of things? We'll get there. But this is very key. What I'm saying is here, what I'm saying is so key, especially at your age. Especially at your age. Let's go to Galatians 4. Because it is something that you can just overlook and say, it doesn't matter. Because the way church is, you will deceive us. You come to church and speak in tongues and we think you're on fire. But it's cause you're attracting to yourself. Galatians 4. So I'll say that there are two phases, right? One of your father, one of your father, there are two phases of the same commandment. Now, Galatians 4:1. Now, I say that here, as long as it's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Please, Lord, show me one or two. No, just show me one or two. I just want to bring out something from this. One or two. Galatians 4, one or two. Now, this statement, it's an explanation of the state of men. There are three states, right? There is the number one state, which is hair. What does it mean to be a hair? To be like, you are DJ Copy, you know, your father is $10, that kind of thing. You have huge inheritance, right? Hey. Who is the father here? God. Is that simple? God is all of us father. Yeah, that's simple, right? So there's the state of head, and there's the state of child. Then we can infer a state of no more child. Are you following me? There's child and there's no more child. Now, even though by blood or by spirit, right? Somebody, what Paul is trying to explain here, and that's why he's talking about physical maturity, but it's still just a phase, it's a kind of just a kind of explanation that can apply. But even though somebody is a head,
What makes him to live in that greatness? Or what makes him to access that inheritance is whether he's a child or not. Are we together? Now this is quite brutal. The way God thinks, if you are God's child, there's no difference between house girl and normal. In fact, God is kind of father. When he's dying, he can give everything to the. Because the way he's thinking is, whoever is mature, he's not thinking based on, I give them to you. It's very brutal what thinking, but God is helping us to get it. But now, the heir, while they're still a child, you can't have access to the goodies of the father or to the riches of the house. But there is a way to make the child have access to the riches of the house. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
What is that way? They put you under guardians and stewards. Are we together? Who are the guardians? Now, you know, this language is how I put it. This is like old school language where we still use guardian today now.
Yes.
But you know, a guardian is like a substitute for parents.
Yes.
Right? So when your parents is not there, a guardian is the person that will say who is in charge of this, who has responsibility over this child. So we see now that the way that God transforms children, another way, right, another benefit of parenting is that the way you will be transferred from child to no more child so that you can access the inheritance is through parents. Are we together? You can't get it another way because that's turning to arm robbery. It's like you're trying to fight. Even the prodigal son had to ask the father. Yeah, you can't rob it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? And so, it's very important for us because at the stage of our lives, see, everybody, for you to get inheritance, they guide you to it. You can't lead yourself to it. Praise God.
Amen.
And, you know, as teenagers, we think that we are dear. But, I'll say something a bit technical. But actually, God does not know the concept of teenager. You never saw teenager in the Bible. Did you ever see teenager? Did you say teenager? 13 to your Bible. Who saw teenager? In God's eye, is child, not child. Are we together? John explains it. In fact, he's like this baby, young man, strong man, father. Yeah, there's no, so even the phrase teenager is something that we have created. It's usually a puberty thing. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
It's a puberty thing now. By the time you turn 13, your voice begins to that's okay, you are a teenager. But actually, in the spirit, in the eye of God, your spiritual state has not changed. And that's why the main temptation is to think that you don't need parents anymore. See, because, praise God,
we're
together. Because even your Lord and Master had this same temptation. Your Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, let's go to Luke. Are you guys following me?
Yes.
Is it making sense? Luke 2.
Look at me something like that. And everyone thinking. Are you happy like that? Seriously, are you happy? Of course. Luke 2, 41. Very popular scripture. His parents went to Jerusalem, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's start from 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You see that a bit? Now, how many things? No. 40. 40. 40. Don't worry, I need five. It's time. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, number one. Filled with wisdom, number two. The grace of God was upon him, number three. But it was still a child. Remember what I said, right? God does not know a teenager. Of course, he knows that they are getting old, but he doesn't know. He has not removed the tag of child yet. That's they are strong in the spirit. Only strong in the spirit is not is Jesus, because we'll soon read the strong in the spirit and feel the wisdom. But that the child is becoming strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace is heavy. That does not yet remove the tag of child. You will see what removes the tag of child. Now 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem. According to the custom of the feast, when they had finished days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went with his journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Now please,
just, you see, and this is why you need to stop religion, so that you just have a real experience with God. Now, who does this kind of thing? What kind of child, like now, you carry your child to ICM, your child will disappear. You know, now, who does that kind of thing? Talk now. Is it your religious spirit doesn't want you to talk? You talk. Is it not a mischievous child? But you see, all of us are reading it from a religious eye. That's why, in a way, Bible is justifying that temple that he was at. I don't know if you are following. You know, when you read that thing, you'll be like, I understand why Jesus was like that. I'm going to understand what I'm saying. You know, you read, I should have been ahead of myself, but you get what I'm saying, right? It's mystery, but there's, you have read in 40, wisdom, grace, strength and spirit, but there's still mischief, okay, looking for trouble. Now, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart.
But just show verse 52. Don't show verse 52. But before reading this thing, now, that exchange, you see, it's because how I put it. Put yourself in it. You know, if you put yourself in it, you will realize that that talking back, there's God in it, but that talking back is spiritual arrogance. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, was it time for him to? Why is it so? Was it time for him to be in Jerusalem? Was it, what I mean is that, was it time for him to do ministry? Was it time?
Yeah.
He was at 12 years of age. But he wanted to do by force. Do you know what I'm saying? He had a feeling. It's like, just get vision from God. Do this. So he wanted to do it. But his parents came and said, no. It's not time. Come back home. He now had to, if it was right what he was doing, and if God was backing him in what he was doing, would he have listened to his parents? No. Don't be religious. Don't be religious. I'm not saying Jesus is bad. What I'm saying is that Jesus was once a child. That's what I'm saying. So there are things in childhood that even Jesus experienced. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
but even though he already had a kind of spiritual growth, wisdom, grace, strength in spirit, he was still a child. And so he needed to go under his parents. Now, when he was under his parents, another one now happened in this verse 52. Are we together? He now increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we see now that the first spiritual growth, was it fake? No, it was not fake, but it was not complete, because the vehicle to the inheritance is true parents. You can't go any other way. Even Jesus cannot go any other way. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes,
you can't do it outside of parents. You can't. It's not. It's the way God has set it. You need the parents to drive you to that destination. You need to be under tutelage. You need to be under guardians and stewards. And so, the role of your parents is, yeah, it is okay. It is going to determine your step. And, you know, I'm not even saying it is really to wish anybody to be well, but this is going to be one of the deciding factors. Trust me. It's not something that how long do you honor your parents? You see, let me tell something about God. God is, the way God thinks is too different to us. Now, there's nobody here that has, that if you are courting Jesus, you bring Jesus to that kind of family. There's nobody here. You think you would, but trust me. You carry Jesus to the palace. That's how it is. You're not surrounded with the wisest people in the world. Well, is it God? God puts the big, looming, and we bring a man like Joseph and say, oh yeah, this is the man that I want to father Jesus. Man that has no emotional, he's not not. That's a random guy. Right? Why? Because Jesus, or rather, God is confident in his principle. He doesn't need the physical thing to make sense. It's not like, oh, if my father was this brilliant, oh, if my mother was not like this, that's not his own concern. It doesn't need what will cause you to change, or what will cause him to deliver blessing to you. It's not like he'll sit you down, he'll not be giving you word every day. It's not that kind of thing. I'm not going to wish you. I'm going to wish your father to be like Pastor Alu. Alright, like anything he does, anything he wants. He's always patient with you. Right? How many people have played about that? I guess you know. Okay, so are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, please don't lose me. So we see here that Jesus had to go under the tutelage of parents. And the basis for the tutelage is almost like appointment. It's not like you deserve it. Yeah, it's not like it doesn't need to be a reason. It's what God wants. Now let's look at another example that we give to Michael. First Samuel. Now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord. Let's look at 2 verse. At this point in time in Israel, you had Eli was the high priest, and Samuel was like a boy. But in the story of Hannah requested a child, and she dedicated the child to God. So Samuel was like, offered for that time. Now, Eli was very old, and he had heard everything he saw this about Israel, and how they lived with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So like, Eli was the high priest and his sons were like in charge of collecting offering. So it's like when women come to give offering, you just carry them inside one of them, sleep with them, God bless you. Next one, you know, that kind of thing. So they were defiling, and this was like, fun songs. So they were defiling the tabernacle of God. So they just jump. So we just have that, they just jump. So that was the kind of master of us. And let's look at 26. Let's bring out something here. It's the same thing. The child Samuel grew in stature and filled up with the Lord and the Lord. I see that same thing being described by Jesus. But growing in stature and filled up with God and men. Praise God. And that is the way you are growing to. He said, now, favor is growing, and it has two phases, God and men. So it's not like a can't be growing in favor with God and men are not being growing in favor. Men are not being growing in favor. It's probably something that simply are going to be given out to God. 27. Then the man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of Father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house?" And so on. So, the prophet of God now came to bring judgment to Eli himself. So this was a man that was, in fact, you read, you read that this guy, you are finished. You know, that was like the verdict, essentially. You are finished. You are done. Right. So God was going to be done with him. So he was operating in that context of a man that's not, is a very terrible man in the eye of God. Are you hearing? Please now respond. Are you going to get
it? Yes, sir. I guess
that. The message is too long. Is it too long? I'll ask people like, was it too long? I mean, it's too long. Sorry, just yeah. Yeah, just maintain focus. It's too long. It's so that you know. So don't give me like 10 minutes of concentration. Let me just. Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
So give me like 10 minutes of your concentration. Alright, so at this point in time, Eli was hugely disfavored. Alright? And so, someone was still growing, but was it under Eli? Now, in chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Let's jump in. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So God called him the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. For you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, concerning him.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Praise God. Now, we see another example of a man. Now, Samuel, God was calling Samuel. Samuel was originally meant to be a priest. Right? But God was, eventually, Samuel was like a very great prophet. So God had different plans. You understand? So Samuel had a destiny that God was trying to bring him towards. The man that he used to kickstart the whole thing. Please hear this thing. Don't forget this thing that I'm saying. The man that God used to kickstart Samuel's growth in his prophetic destiny is a man that God has intention of killing. Did he hear me? The man, let me say it again for impact. The man that God used to bring Samuel into his destiny is a man that God had planned to kill. That's why God is a very strange person. That's very careful. So, you don't say, "He did this to me, he did that to me." God can still use him. Not just that God can still use him, God is still using him. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Just that we don't tell stories so that it won't be like, we don't just want to tell stories. But
What I mean is that I don't tell family secrets. So it's a bit like, because eventually I can see my father now. This one. But, see, as to your destiny, the tutoring is with your parents. Physical parents, spiritual parents. And it is a separate issue. God can have an issue on structure. God can say, you, I'm going to fight you. But see yourself again, But I'm still going to fight you. But that's helping. After he's helped him, he will not come and receive your own flogging. Are we together? And so, you don't judge this relationship. It's not the relationship that you judge on the basis of physical imperfection. Don't judge that way. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
This is discipleship, but you don't join them to attack your father. You don't say, you said he's useless, but when the whole family is attacking him, even though you do, you know he didn't pay your school fees, but you just, let's pray for him. Are we together?
Yes,
sir. Let them be shocked. What is the wedding day? Then let me know where is the wedding day that you have. You know, you haven't given speech. You know, this one, I think this man so much. My father, God used to. My father. Don't join them all. Don't join them because you are still. Praise God. And that's why the major, if some of you still have started perceiving that the major demon you're fighting with is your devil. Just want to do your thing your way. It makes sense to you. You know. I know rebellion, one of the things about rebellion can reduce. Rebellion can reduce the way I talk now, maybe, you know, for instance, I don't see that here now because it's boobies. You know, I'm talking now, so I'm very afraid. If you live with me for like 2 months, rebellion can reduce that amount of my image to. Again, I'm like, so this again. That's what. But then I can be any other. In my house, I'm not a pastor in my house. I don't do like pastor in my house. Yet. My house, I'm just doing my thing because my house is, I can't be stressing myself. I can't be here. So, you can see in my house, I'm maybe, just things that put in their houses. So, if you are a religious person, anybody can come down. You understand? Right? But you have to learn, and it's part of the thing that will separate you in this generation. You have to learn because we're living in days of lots of disobedience to parents. Disobedience to parents is an end time kind of thing where the parental is just gone. Right? But you don't judge that relationship in a physical level. You don't judge it. You don't respond to me based on what you have got. You respond to me based on where you are going. Right? So it's not like they can't carry you to America. You don't. You can't carry you to America. Yes. Yes. You don't respond that way. You respond. That's why I'm teaching you, right? Because nobody will teach you. They don't teach you this in the schools. They don't teach you this on social media. Church teaches kind of different spiritual life. Yes. So, according to spiritual living, life that God has created for us, you judge that relationship based on where you are going to. Because that physical parent and that spiritual parent is developed to
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I can't finish it because I can't see this as spiritual prayer. I can't finish it, but I'll just end with, I believe we've gotten the whole point of the whole thing. If you read Romans 1:38, you see that it's quite important to God. We can also share it. You know, it's quite important to God. When God is talking about sin scattering or the disobedience of God, He's right there with things like lesbianity, homosexuality, disobedience to parents. Barbarians and sinners of God, all the proud boosters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents is there. Yeah, because it is a major spiritual principle that the moment it is broken, the release is caused. Praise God. Because what is caused? Caused is not that, you see, caused is not that, caused is not that special. It's most people are caused. For all humanity is cursed, then there is now the one that becomes saved, that is now delivered from curse. Then even if you are saved, curse can still be operation in your life, because it is a function of the principles of God that you are living by. For instance, poverty is a curse. And you can be a Christian and the stronghold of poverty is still on you. You get what I'm saying? Right? So, most human beings are cursed. Not the kind of village cursed. They are just operating in the power of cursed. It's not that the cursed, stop seeing cursed as, you know, when I was young, there's an old woman, not stone or something. Not saying, it's not like that. You know what I'm saying? That's blessing. Cursed is like, it's like a blessing, it's like a coin. Blessing is like a coin. The head is blessing. The tail of the coin is cursed. So that thing that God released, honor your father and your mother so that it will be well with you. They didn't tell you, but the opposite. He said it, he doesn't say it. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you do the opposite, the curse will. Again, it's not like a, so where is blessing? It's cursed. It's not that's why God will tell Abraham, whoever blesses you is blessed. Whoever causes you is cursed. The energy that you get is the one that you receive. You get what I'm saying? It's not a special thing. Again. So if I'm going to be blessed like I said, there are types of prayers to pray spiritual prayers. And the number one thing that you don't need to do eye service. For your physical parents, you need to honor them. Honor them. There's no time, so I can't explain that, but you just need to honor them. So don't be rude, don't be listening to them. They tell you to do things you don't like, do it. Yes. If there's any particular thing that you are conflicted about, go and meet your spiritual parents to talk about it. Yes. They can put you through it, because you might not have the wisdom to navigate it. So if they tell you to go and buy beer for them. No, because we have all these kind of questions. Okay, so truly you can buy it, that one is small, but there are just some things that are actually, because all of us who are allegiance to God. Okay, so there are some things that we don't do, even if our physical parents tell us to do it. So those kind of things, you just feel like something that's complicated, like they're going to meet your spiritual family, which is your pastor. You don't overcomplicate it. As everybody needs a pastor, please, you need a pastor. Please, they have a pastor. They have a pastor. He knows he has a pastor. He knows he's your pastor. You're not sure. Please have to be sure. You need a pastor. Yeah. You have a church to attend. Please. Yes. So, focus on that spiritual relationship. So, that one can straighten you out of those complicated issues. Then your spiritual parents, please, you don't need to do eye service. You don't need to do, the number one thing is to listen. The number one way to honor your spiritual parents is to listen. Listen to the word that they are saying. It's not going to give them gifts. It's to listen. Yes. They say they teach you the Bible, do it. That's the one that is honoring the king.
yet. You'd be like, go and buy teddy bear or something. Doesn't count. He counts in his way, but are you listening? You get listen. That's from that one flows every other thing. Because of that, I can't remember it. From that one flows just that listening. In Proverbs says, "My son, listen to my words." Get as I'm talking. What I can give you is what I'm saying. Yes. If I hate you, I will give you money only. Yeah, the people that don't like you, and you see, the people that don't like you are willing to give you money. Politicians can give you money. Hey, never tell you how to make money. Because if he tells you how to make money, you will not come tomorrow to ask him for money, to vote for him. You understand? So he will give you money. So he will give you money. Why do you give you money? Forget all that, Mr. Integrity. How much is not? He will give you money. Yes, he will give you money. But the valuable thing is the words. Because it's the words that make you who you are. So, the word is to listen. Just listen. Everybody here, listen. 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 Don't have stubborn ear. Don't have stubborn ear. Just listen to the words. And God is going to bless you. Now, there are many things that hinder. Lastly, forgive your parents. This is something that people struggle with. And except for cases of abuse, which is physical abuse, and even to an extent emotional abuse, you should still stay with your parents, even though they are not perfect. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's clear. Abuse. God does not want you to be abused, either physical abuse, molestation. You know, too much violence. Because in Nigeria we flog, so it's not America like you flog, you go and take the challenge. We flog. So what I mean is, you know, some people their father like, yes, it happens, right? So that's what I mean. So that kind of abuse, then so sexual abuse, you know, unfortunately some people's parents are pedophiles and stuff like that. Like so, other kind of abuse. But aside from that kind of thing, please, even though they are imperfect, forgive them. It's not easy. Yes, it's really not easy. Life is not easy. It's only God that is making us rise up with it. If I didn't have God, means I'll be desperate. I'll be desperate. You understand? Life is not easy. So forgive them. Don't be holding grudges. Don't say, "Oh, you didn't do this for me. You didn't do that for me." They reach their power. Their power reached the level. God can continue the rest. Right? So don't hold that against them. Always be ready and willing to forgive. When they say hurtful things to you, because that's not your identity, so they call you a bully. That's not your identity. So discard that and forgive them. Don't use that as ammunition to dishonor them in your heart. Because they are born again. You might not be able to do it in faith, but you have done it. In your house. Praise God. Let's pray for John. John, don't pray. Don't pray. We pray for you. We will pray for you. Yes, I'm going to pray. Just let's pray. Please, you are more than important. We're going to pray for God to take away that offense spirit and replace it with a spirit of adoption. So can we just come together? Let's come together. Let's surround her. Let's start with our hands. Put your hands on our shoulder.
Come. Stand up. I'm going to lead out of God. I'm going to ask God to do it. Let's ask that God will take away the spirit of the offer and replace it with the spirit of adoption. Let us pray. Praise the Lord.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh Lord, from today she walks in the newness of your light.
Amen.
From today, Lord, she will never feel like she doesn't have a father.
Amen.
Or you will be beside her.
Amen.
Six to 16.
Oh,